thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
I want to start by reading out one verse from the Bible with you that I think is going to help set our context for what's on my heart for you today. And so if we could look it up together, it's found in Psalm 36 and it's verse 5. Psalm 36 and it's verse 5. We remind ourselves that this is God's inspired and authoritative word. Psalm 36, verse 5. Your love, O Lord, it reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the skies. Your love, O Lord, it reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the skies. Amen. And God will add his blessing to that reading from his word. We've been thinking about this in our singing and indeed in our prayers just before I got up to speak. God is faithful. He is faithful. And I hope that as a result of this morning, what we can all do is leave here with a fresh desire in our hearts to trust him. Because we absolutely and unreservedly can trust him without reservation. However, it can often be difficult. It can often be difficult, and it's understandable why that can be difficult, and for many reasons. Sometimes I think we can mistakenly confuse God's faithfulness with the unreliability that we see all around us in the world today. And the unreliability we see in other people, the unreliability we see in the circumstances of life. We're more used to seeing that word faithfulness with a little prefix un. We see unfaithfulness in marriage. We see unfaithfulness in so-called friends, unfaithfulness in ethics, unfaithfulness, dare I mention it in this season, in politics, unfaithfulness, in fact, in every aspect of life. It can be difficult to trust. The older we get, the more we realise how few great friends we actually have. You know, whenever we were young, we had lots of friends, didn't we, around us, who said we were all going to be together through the thick and the thin of life. But when the storms came, where were they? And as a result, we can find it difficult to embrace other people. And difficult to trust without reservation. The older we get, the more knocks we have in life. And therefore, it can be difficult to trust. Hearing about the sad passing of Caroline today at such a young age, and our thoughts and prayers are with all of her family. It can be difficult and sad times of storms that we've been singing about to trust God unreservedly in our lives. But friends, I reckon as long as we confuse or relate God's faithfulness to the unfaithfulness we see in other people, even in ourselves, the difficult experiences of life, we're going to find it nigh on impossible to trust him without reservation. You see, we can't equate God with what we see around us because God is different. We'll have to turn to his word to find truth, truth that can set us free, and find this revelation when we do turn to God's word that God is different to us. He's different to man. He's different to woman. He's different to the circumstances we all go through. In the Old Testament, there's a really powerful word that helps contrast the difference between God and man. It's a Hebrew word, chesed. It's this beautiful word that speaks of this steadfast, reliable, unwavering, inextinguishable, and faithful love. I don't know if you've ever read the book of Hosea. If you haven't, take a read at it. It's fabulous. It's a fascinating story. And in it, you see the contrast between God's chesed and Israel's chesed. In chapter 6, it says that Israel, your chesed, is like the morning mist. It's here for a while and then it disappears. But God's chesed is everlasting. We can't compare God's faithfulness with what we see around us or what we experience in our lives because he's totally different to us. Bible says God's holy. We sang about that, haven't we, this morning? And that means God's totally other than us. He's totally different, distinct, and unique from everything and everyone in a transcendent way. Yes, we're made in the image of God, but he is totally different from us in a transcendent way. There's nothing, there's no one that can compare with him. Can't relate his faithfulness to what we see around us or experience. And if you're taking notes, in the Hebrew, the original language of the Old Testament, the word for faithfulness is emunah, E-M-U-N-A-H. In the New Testament, it's the word pistos. And these words emphasize that faithfulness, again, means for us firmness, stability, steadfastness, trustworthiness. And when we look at the imperfection around us, we have to say, hey, God is the only one totally other than us who could perfectly demonstrate the magnificence of the words that we've just thought about or just mentioned there. Isaiah 25:11 says God is perfect in faithfulness and he's done marvelous things. One of the pictures that support that word, that Hebrew word emunah, in relation to God is how we can lean upon him. You ever read that in the Psalms? How we can lean upon the Lord. I know we don't like to think of Christianity as being a crutch, but actually that is the picture. When we lean upon God, and when we do that, we find that he is stable. He's the rock that we can trust, and he's not going to be moved in our lives. We can absolutely and resolutely trust the Lord without reservation. Perfect in faithfulness. Friends are going to fail us. God's never going to fail us. Family will fail us. God's always faithful. Funds will fail us. God is always faithful. Feelings will fail us. God is always faithful. Our faith can even fail us, but God is always faithful. It's that beautiful verse in 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. For anyone who's feeling their faith is wavering this morning. And it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. An awesome God. There's nobody like him. God says, I am who I am. Nobody like him. He's totally other than us. Trustworthy, perfectly faithful. And scripture just speaks consistently about this incredible faithfulness. It's possible. It's impossible to read through the Psalms not without seeing it come up again and again and again. But all we have to remember is there's nearly one third of the Psalms, over one third of the Psalms are laments found because of the difficulties of life. It makes God's faithfulness all the more remarkable, all the more distinctive from what we see around us. That scripture we read earlier from Psalm 36:5, it says, your love, O Lord, it reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. So that's class. Faithfulness to the skies, the expanse of the heavens can't even contain the faithfulness of God. Actually, Psalm 119:90 says, your faithfulness endures through all generations. So actually, time itself can't even measure the length and the breadth of God's faithfulness for us. He's faithful. He's faithful to save, faithful to forgive, faithful to keep us, faithful to protect, faithful to sustain us. Even as was read out for us earlier, in the valley of the shadow. Lamentations 3:23, which we'll come back to in a moment when we get to the end of the talk, says this. This I call to mind, therefore I have hope. If through the Lord's mercies we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Awesome God. We can absolutely and resolutely trust without reservation. Let me share a few more reasons with you why you can absolutely do that. Because firstly, God's faithful to his character. He's faithful to his character. Our whole faith is based on our understanding of who God is. And as we grow in our revelation of God, we're also going to grow in our faith and in our trust of him. And he's perfectly faithful to his character. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, God cannot deny himself. He's not some illogical God who we're going to die and go in front of and say that all this was a lot of nonsense. He's not an illogical God. We can absolutely trust him. Psalm 89:8 says, God is surrounded with faithfulness. Can't deny himself. And everything because he is perfectly faithful in his character, faithful in love, faithful in being that refuge, faithful in being God of gods, and holy and in his grace. We can trust him, folks. Faithful in every aspect of his perfection. And actually, because God is all power, there's nothing or no one can stop him from being faithful. Because he's above all things. And what does he say in Malachi 3:6? He says, I am the Lord, I do not change. Glorious truth. And because of that, we know he's not going to ever deny himself. And his faithfulness will endure through all generations. So God's consistently true to who he is. But he's second, he's also faithful to his word. And we can trust everything in it. Everything contained in it. This is the Bible. It's not some fairy tale. It's the Bible. It's the inspired and the authoritative word of God. It's God revealed to you and me in paper. God's message of hope to a lost world. It's the greatest book ever written. Core standard by which you and I have to live our lives. And it's one of God's supreme gifts to the human race. This is the Bible. For 2,000 years, scholars, atheists, and some bad preachers have tried to criticize, discredit, and destroy this book, yet still today, it is having a profound life-changing impact upon countless millions of people all across the world. This book has stood and it will stand the test of time. It's trustworthy, it's true, it's sublime. The Bible, and we can trust God. And he's faithful to every word that's contained in it. Psalm 119:89. Oh, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Hebrews 6:18. It's impossible for God to lie. Psalm 7:28. O Lord, you are God and your words are true. Proverbs 35 says, every word of God is flawless. Word of God is full of promises that he's given to you and to me. And Hebrews 10 says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. God's unswervingly faithful to every promise that he's given us in this precious book. He keeps his promise. In fact, Deuteronomy 7 says, he does so to 1,000 generations of those who trust him. There's no promise that God's not going to come good on. No promise at all. It's important for us, especially in the uncertainty of the days that we're living in, the winter that's coming ahead. I saw the heat been turned up there earlier in the service. And there's a lot of uncertainty that people are going through in these days. And we need the assurance and to stand in the assurance of God's word. We can be sure that when God makes a promise, he's going to fulfill it. When he makes a warning, he'll also follow through on that too. We need to heed that. We can be sure that God's going to follow through in all he says. Why? Because his honor's at stake. And if we read the Bible carefully, we see that God's jealous for his honor and jealous for his name's sake. He's not going to not fulfill what he has said. So when he tells you today that he's never going to leave you nor forsake you, he's faithful to that. That's the most precious promise in all of Scripture. No matter how you feel this morning, no matter where you are in your life, God's with you. Doesn't matter if you can't feel it or feel him close, he's with you, closer than your very breath. And he'll never, ever, ever leave you. When he promises to supply all of our needs in this difficult winter ahead, he's faithful to do that. When he promises to keep us in perfect peace, even when we're going through such difficulties in our lives, he is faithful to keep his promises. When he says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, as we remember when we come around this table in a few moments' time, he's faithful to that. When he says nothing's going to separate you from my love, he's faithful to that. When he says that no one's going to snatch you out of my hand, he's absolutely faithful to his promises. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, said, the glory of God's faithfulness is seen in that no sin or no failure in our lives will ever make him unfaithful. So when God promises even to work all things together for the good of those who love him, even though that's a difficult one for us to understand, From our perspective, this side of heaven, he's faithful. And when Jesus promises one day the skies are going to break and he's going to return in all his glory, he is faithful and he will do it. Has God ever let you down? I think Mark said this earlier in the service. Has God ever let you down on anything? It's worth reflecting on that. I'm not saying that we're never going to go through any difficult circumstance. I'm not saying we're never going to experience any challenges in our lives. That would be wrong teaching. Because God has shown us that we're going to go through trials in our lives. But I'm asking, has he ever let you down in anything he's promised? That's why I believe that the faithfulness of God is one of the most beautiful and meaningful truths of all. Young people, you're surrounded by a gift here today. And that gift is those who are a little bit older and a bit further on their life journey than you. I really want to encourage you to go and speak to those who are a little bit older in church. I sometimes see, not just young people, but I sometimes see people in our church here very elderly. People just walk past and don't even notice that they're sitting. I think it's a tragedy. When I think of the life experience those people have, and when I think of the journey that they've gone on and gone, how they've faithfully served the Lord, how they've faithfully seen God's hand at work, and how people could just walk past and ignore. It's terrible. I'm encouraging you, go and listen to the stories of people who are a little bit older, because you will find the faithfulness of God in their lives, and it'll inspire you. I remember when I was at Bible college, there was a lady who's with the Lord now, Helen Rosevere, who's a wonderful woman of God, a missionary, who went through terrible suffering in her life. And she told us about the traumatic experience she experienced, traumatic experiences on the mission field. And when that lady in her 80s then turned to us and said, with confidence, after what she shared with us, my God is faithful. The hairs in the back of my neck stood on end. There's an authority that comes with the experience of life and the journey of life that we need to avail of. And I'm encouraging you, look at the gift around you that can help you understand more about the faithfulness of God. He's faithful. We can absolutely and unreservedly trust him. Why? Because he's different to us. Because he's totally faithful to his character and he's not going to change. He's totally faithful to his word and every promise in it. But as I draw to a close, what else can be said here today to those who are really struggling to trust the Lord? I don't need to know you all personally. I don't need to trust you, know you all personally, to know that behind lots of the lovely, smiley, shiny, happy faces today, there'll be a significant level of brokenness. There'll be significant difficulties that people are going through. There will be people in the middle of a storm. There'll be people who are weary of waiting for a breakthrough. I want to say to you with confidence to trust the Lord today. I'm not saying he's going to take away all your concerns. I'm not going to say he's going to smooth over every worry. He might, but I'm not going to promise that. I'm saying you can't trust him. And we'll go back to the book of Lamentations that are quoted from. How do we trust him? Well, I think this helps us. Lamentations, that amazing book, which is almost like this litany of anguish. Jeremiah looks at the bleak time he was going through, the state of God's people and the nation. He agonizes over the mess and he says then, this I call to mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we're not consumed because his compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So I wonder, in the midst of this raw anguish, what does he do? He calls to mind the mercy of God. The compassion of God, the greatness of God, and the faithfulness, and he finds hope. So where do we turn in the midst of despair? We turn to God, and we can't fully trust ourselves as we've been thinking, or others without reservation, but we can trust him, and here's how we can trust him. This I call to mind. Therefore I have hope. Take your circumstances, difficult as they are, and set them in the framework of God's faithfulness. We can know joy. We can know peace in the midst of anguish. How? This we call to mind. Therefore, we have hope. God's faithfulness is not just seen when the sun's shining. So think back. This we call to mind. Think of those times when God showed up when everyone else had left. Think of the times when God brought the right people into your life at the right time. Think of the time when God opened the door when nothing else seemed to make sense. Think of the time when he made a way. Think of the time when God saw you through. Think of the time when he gave you the faith to keep holding on, even when it seemed like it was by your fingertips. But you're still here today to worship him. Think about the time when you thought you'd got to the end of your rope and the grace of God showed you there's more rope. There's more rope. Think back to many times he's rescued you and many times he's forgiven you. This we call to mind. Therefore, we've got hope today. Jeremiah didn't just give up. He didn't look around and say, well, this is my lot. It's not going to change. No, we call to mind and therefore we had hope. And scripture exhorts us to do exactly the same thing this morning. T.D. Jakes brilliantly puts it. He says, revelation often comes in retrospect. That's true. When we look back, we see the hand of God. When we're going through a problem, yes, we know the struggle. And we knew the struggle when we look back at the difficulties. Maybe when we look back, we see we didn't understand quite what was going on. Just like some, there'll be complexity and confusion in people's lives here today. But when we look back, we can see situations. I didn't understand. I might not fully understand even today why I had to go through that. But God brought me through it. You see, we see the what, God sees the why. And we've got to trust the why. And it's often in retrospect we see, not always, but often we do. God doesn't explain what we're going through. So therefore we call to mind. We've got hope. Worship team are going to join me in the stage just to lead us in a beautiful song just before we go into our time around communion. And I just want you to know that. You guys can come on up and join me in the stage. I just want you to know this, folks. Part of our spiritual maturity is having a very, very healthy awareness of our spiritual journey. It's part of our maturity. It's having that awareness of our history. Trials we have come through can strengthen our trust today. How? Because when we look back, we see this unswerving faithfulness of God. We see what he's brought us through. God's faithfulness can switch a light on in the dark today. I believe that for someone. Where do we turn? We turn to him. This I call to mind, therefore I have hope. Friends, let's think again about his mercy. Let's think again about his compassion as we come round the table in a moment and his faithfulness. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. What a savior. Faithfulness seen in our past. But because of what we have thought today and how different he is to us, how faithful he is to his character, how he's not going to change, how he's faithful to his word, how he's faithful to every promise, that we can know his faithfulness today. We know he's always going to be faithful. And what's coming is going to be better than what we've gone through. We don't only look back, but today we can look forward to a day when God's going to wipe away every tear from your eyes. Where there's going to be no more sin, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more heartache. And the hope of what's to come can breathe hope into your present right now. Maybe we can all stand together and just close our eyes. And perhaps, do you know what? Life's great for you. And if it is, fantastic. Please use these moments around the table and of worship to thank God for his goodness in your life. But for those struggling to trust because of what you're going through, use these next few moments to respond biblically. This I call to mind. Therefore, I hope set your situation in the framework of God's faithfulness. Call to mind, as we were singing earlier, he is sovereign. He's in control. Call to mind all of his goodness. And be assured that your present and your future is in his hands. So let the words of these songs rise up faith in your heart. Rise up faith in your heart today and bring you all, bring us all, a place of celebration and faith. Amen. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.